This meeting is being recorded.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Montega, a warm welcome to today's earnings call of the Apontis Pharma AG following the publication of the financial year figures of 2023. We are delighted to welcome the CEO Bruno Wurschläger, CFO Thomas Zimmermann, as well as CPO Thomas Mills. So the gentlemen, they will guide us through the presentation and the results. And as always, we will move on with the Q&A session following the presentation, where you will be allowed to ask your questions directly to them. So having said this, Mr. Wurschläger, please go ahead. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Ms. Malloch, and welcome to the audience. We are happy about your constant interest in Apontis Pharma, and we are happy to guide you today through the 2023 results and the outlook for 2024. We look at the disclaimer, and this is the executive team of Apontis Pharma.
Yeah, good morning from my side as well. I'm Thomas Mills, and I'm the Chief Product Officer, and I'm heading the different departments of business development. I would like to give you a short update about that in a short while. Market access, the regulatory issues, medical, and all the product development we have started already in the past.
Good morning also from my side. My name is Thomas Zimmermann. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Apontis, and I'm responsible for finance, investor relations, IT, and compliance. I will lead you through the numbers after a short introduction of Bruno about our company and the current strategy.
Yeah, Bruno Wurschläger, Chief Executive Officer, and my responsibilities in this team are strategy, marketing and sales, human resources, and supply chain. And with this, we dive directly into a short summary of today's meeting and the results, of course. Apontis Pharma 2023, what is it in a nutshell? It's for sure, it was a very difficult year for the company, and absolutely clear, it was a disappointing year also for investors. It was also a very frustrating experience for the organization and the team when we look at the result. And I have to state even more, it was a bad service to patients that couldn't get a better treatment that we are able to provide, but we were not able to push adequately in the market. So this too, as a short summary of 2023, we saw lower sales and a negative EBITDA. We come to the figures later on. And the reasons were communicated several times. We had one-time effects, but also, and this is important to note, a lack of market impact when it comes to our capabilities to market our portfolio. We saw accelerated growth of Atorimip in the last quarter of last year. So the year ended a bit more positive, on a positive note, than the 2023 as a whole year. And due to the accelerated growth with Atorimip and cost discipline in Q4, those two factors actually started off the trend reversal, which we will hopefully and for sure see in the proceedings of 2024. So status quo at the moment and outlook, our restructuring has been successfully completed. We have a new go-to-market model in place, which started on March 1st, 1 month ahead of plan. And it's clear enough that in 2024, we will focus on our core business. This is the single pill portfolio, and we will set this up for profitable growth in 2024. In addition to this, we have growth opportunities identified, which play an important role in the future evolvement of this company. And I have just to fix a technical issue here. Give me a second. Okay. Okay, so Thomas, you have to share your screen with me because I'm not able to see that. Yeah, so additional growth opportunities. Maybe it was good to make a little pause because that's probably a topic you are all interested in. And I will make some comments on this one later in this presentation. So, but what is clear from the summary of 2023, an incremental improvement for Apontis Pharma based on this situation was not enough and is not enough. We have to talk about a turnaround, and this is what this team, but also the whole organization, is about to perform in order to come back to profitable growth. So a short recap on what happened. Of course, we made a thorough analysis of the situation of Apontis 2.0. And in a nutshell, so the umbrella approach to only talk about single pills in the market did not leverage the product potential to the extent planned, and the go-to-market model has become increasingly ineffective. And this was an effect that accelerated after the COVID crisis. We started our program for Apontis 3.0, the restructuring and the new go-to-market model, in order to fix the root causes. And you see the list of items that we went through with the organization, and we added a new one today. And I think that's an important point going forward. Apontis Pharma already started to be and will become a learning organization that is able to adapt to changes, but also to fuel growth by the right strategies and the right behavior within the company and in the market. So outcome of this will be a better launch experience with our new products, the opportunity to relaunch products that didn't develop adequately in the past, and of course also to mitigate any events that might happen in the market with a negative impact, or to ensure that we can leverage growth based on a flexible response with our organization. So another short reminder on the go-to-market redesign, and this is an important point which I like to emphasize again and again. In order to fulfill the prerequisites for a short and long-term success of Apontis Pharma, it was not enough just to come and cut costs. This is not what we did. What we did was we redesigned the model in a way that it can serve both purposes, a short-term success, which we urgently need, and a long-term strategic outlook, which helps us to really capitalize on the opportunities we have. And with Apontis 3.0, we are pretty much there. Of course, this is an evolving organization. It's a starting point at the moment, but we have implemented a scalable model for the German market. This will enable us to grow profitably and of course in 2024 in Germany, but from 2027 onwards, beyond the German market, also in other European markets. The principle behind this is easy to explain, but only if the slide moves forward. Excellent. We come from this traditional model where the sales force was the sole instrument we used to grow in the market. And we added important elements to this. So for example, medical marketing, but also market access in a much more pronounced way than in the past. So Thomas, my colleague here, gets support by a team that can do negotiations beyond his scope of working 24 hours, 7 days a week. And we add direct marketing, very effective ways to also share medical data and insights and guideline related information with healthcare professionals. And all of this is orchestrated by, let's say, a brain, which you can imagine like a core team of Apontis colleagues, but also the one or the other external resource that helps us to get this to a professional, very professional level in no time. So in this process, restructuring the company in Germany, it's important to know that those of you who know it, German labor law is not is very protective for employees, which is good. Yeah, but it can also represent a challenge when you think about a restructuring. But what we were able to do is to ensure that the balancing of interests was not only between the company and employees, but also with those between those employees who had to leave and those who were supposed to stay. Because if the whole program becomes too expensive or too lengthy time-wise, it's difficult for the company to thrive afterwards. And this process actually ran very smoothly and costs that were at the lower end of the expectation, which were between 5 and 8 million, we were able to do it for 5.6, but with a very good program that enabled us also to finalize this with a 98% voluntary rate. So there's a good spirit within the organization and probably not a bad spirit for those who leave in most of the cases. And I think this is something that enabled us as well to move pretty quickly to a new model. So what can you expect from Apontis Pharma in 2024? I think that's the main question that you might have today. And I will give you an overview also in a summary way. You can expect from us an existing business and tangible assets where we are able and where we will deliver profitable growth with our core business single pill, which is the single pill portfolio. So we will have a growing single pill portfolio, and the growth rate is about 40% as compared to 2023. So we are not happy with 10, 15, 20. It needs to be 40, and we are very confident that we are able to deliver on this promise. Portfolio expansion, another asset that you can count on us. Until 2025, we will have 20 products in the market, but already this year, and I look to Thomas Mills here, we will have 18 products in the German market introduced and ready for prescription. Also a box ticked, you can rely on this. This is not an outlook, this is reality. And the organization, the go-to-market model is up and running. This is an evolving model, but we already work since 1st of March based on the principles that we set up for the future success of this company. And of course, cost structure. I was asked recently about if I think that we already see impact of our changes beginning of this year. And there's probably one impact that I can promise, of course. As we have a lean cost structure, we will already be able to increase or to improve our results in Q1. To which extent we will see it, it's a function of sales and costs, but if you lower costs, there is more left from sales. So you should expect a better result as compared to the same, about to the high cost organization we had with the same sales. Yeah, good. And this is what you get and what we promise to deliver for 2024. In addition to this, there's a second layer which is important, and which is important at least mid and long term, maybe short term we will see opportunities for future growth. We already discussed in recent meetings that there is an opportunity to internationalize the business. And this is a fact. We have licenses that we can use outside of Germany, and we will do so in 2027 and the following years. And of course, our strategic planning is already ongoing. And this is an important element of our growth strategy, and will for sure yield results latest in 2027. Go-to-market model. We have a go-to-market model now. I put a lot of emphasis on this, which will function well in Germany, which will help us to grow profitably with our business here. But in case we have additional opportunities in the German market or elsewhere, when we internationalize, our go-to-market model will be scalable to an extent that we can fully leverage the growth potential of our portfolio or of any other opportunity that fits to our strategic plan. Cooperation. I know that some of you waited for more news on this already last time, and maybe I was not really clear about what's the point with cooperation. If you think about the restructuring and the new go-to-market model, we had a big task to fulfill, which means we needed to ensure not only that we have a new model, which we are convinced will work very well in the German market for the single pill portfolio, but that this go-to-market model is also a model that is attractive for big pharma. So what we need to do and what we needed to do and what we are continuously doing is to convince partners in big pharma that this is not only a similarly good model than in the past to cooperate with us, but maybe an even better value proposition. So we were quite successful in demonstrating that this model will work also for corporations. And of course, you can guess if there are opportunities, we always try to leverage them. So we will work intensely on this point as well. And whenever there is an update to give, we are happy to inform you as soon as possible about any progress in this regards. And there's a fourth point, and maybe that's also very important to understand. If you look at the existing business and the outlook for 2024, we solely build on the core pillars of our business that you see on the lower line of the house, let's say. But what will for sure happen in the future is that the medical standard will step by step change from loose combinations towards single pill combination use. This is not something that we build on as a strategy for 2024 or as a result in 2024, but it's something that works in our favor, and we have our strategies to ensure that this medical standard change is supported by the activities that we drive, but also by the community itself. But of course, it gives us an upside in terms of growth when the medical standard idea kicks in and more physicians tend or start to prescribe single pills. But it's a growth opportunity. All the points mentioned above are opportunities which we diligently follow up, but they are not a necessary prerequisite for our success in 2024. So whatever comes on top, comes on top. Whatever you get for 2024 is a nicely growing business in Germany that is profitable. And with this, I would like, because I'm talking about, you might think I talk about concepts. Let's talk about figures now. And I'm happy to hand over to Thomas Zimmermann, so he can guide you through the figures of 2023 and the outlook for 2024. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Bruno, thank you very much. And I'm going to guide you through the financials for the fiscal year 23. And on this slide, you will find the overview of the sales and EBITDA development in 23. 23 was a challenging year with a negative sales and profit development. But 23 was also a year of change and transformation, a transformation that would lead Apontis to a profitable growth. Single pill revenues were down by 30% and total sales by 34% in 23. However, compared to the first 9 months, the decline in sales could be significantly reduced in the fourth quarter 24. This improvement is the reason that the total sales were 37 million euros and therefore 900,000 better than in our November guidance. And the higher sales are also the reason that our EBITDA with minus 7.7 million euros before restructuring costs was even 900,000 better compared to our November guidance. The next slide shows you the sales development per segment. In total, sales decreased by 18.8 million euros or 34%. and single pills decreased by 30% or 10.9 million euros. Thereof, Atromip declined by 9.2 million euros. The two main reasons for the decline are the tenders and especially the supply situation. From February to October, the supply could not meet the demand, but this changed in November. From November onwards, the supply increased and the current market demand could be met. Therefore, the situation improved drastically from November 23 onwards. The supplier was able to open a second production site, which is now operative, and the capacity of this second site will be doubled end of the third quarter of this year, and the third production site will go productive in April. Based on the current information, a full normalization will be reached end of this year. Carmelo declined due to the tenders by 64% or 2.9 million euros, but the decline could be stopped in the third quarter. Very positively, the ongoing high growth for Tonatec HDT with 38%, Tonatec Lipid with 167%, and Roso ASS with 550% continued. The corporation business declined by 45% or 7.5 million euros and was in line with our expectations. The main reason was the anticipated contract end of Yara Icantra in September 22 with an impact of 6.1 million euros. The revenue from the distribution of Ulunar performed better than expected and was down only by 26% or 1.8 million euros. But due to the margin of Ulunar, this had no impact on the bottom line. The revenue from the very successful fee-for-call contract with Borin increased by 1.1 million euros. The next slide will depict the quarterly development of our sales in 23, and it shows the improvement of our single pill sales in the fourth quarter. On a yearly basis, the decline was 30% with a minimum in the second quarter. In the third quarter and especially the fourth quarter, single pill sales improved strongly compared to the second quarter. In the fourth quarter, the decline of single pills was only 16% compared to the yearly average rate of 30%. And the main reason for the improved sales was a sufficient supply of Atoromib since November. In the fourth quarter, sales with Atoromib were 1.3 million higher compared to the second quarter. And in addition, the sales of the products we just launched in the second half of the year contributed 200,000 euros in the fourth quarter. The next slide shows our balance sheet. The total equity decreased based on the net loss of the period, but the equity ratios with 52.7% is still very high. The lower net liquidity is due to the loss, and the net liquidity was 20.8 million euros at year end. Apontus has a short-term financing of 6 million euros until May 24, secured by a time deposit with the same amount. It runs out in May 24. And this financing was used for the recapitalization of our operative company below the Apontus Pharma AG. The next slide shows the operating cash flow in the 12 months 23. And this was minus 12.6 million euros, mainly caused by the net loss and the higher inventory. For development and licensing projects, Apontus invested 2.9 million euros. The financing flow was just explained by me, 6 million euros to finance the recapitalization of the Apontus Pharma KG below the Apontus Pharma AG. The next slide shows the impact of our restructuring efforts. We were able to generate a significant and permanent reduction in our cost base effective for March the 1st. The total personal expenses, including the fleet expenses, were nearly 22 million euros in 23, excluding the extraordinary restructuring costs. And the personal expenses will decrease this year by 7.5 million euros. This includes the reduction of our sales reps and internal back office, but also the one-time costs we had to pay for our former CEO and the change in our management team. And this is one of the two pillars for the return to a profitable growth in 24. The next pillar of our return to a profitable growth is our single pill sales. And the single pill sales, as just Bruno said, will increase by 40% in 24. And this increase is driven by the broad portfolio of our single pills. Atoromib is also responsible for the increase due to the better supply situation, but all other single pills will have a bigger contribution than Atoromib. As a result, the share of the formerly three biggest products, Atoromib, Tonatec, and Carmelo, which are in a tender situation, will decrease by 14 percentage points to 52% in 24. And compared to 22, the share of the non-tender products is even 29 percentage points higher in 24. And this will significantly reduce the impact of tenders in the future in our business. On the last slide, you will see our guidance for 24. And after a year with a decline in sales and the loss, the company will return to a profit in 24. The two pillars, as already said, are first, the increase in our single pill business by 40%, and second, a strong reduction in our personal expenses by 7.5 million euros in 24. And as a result, total sales will go up to 41.7 million euros, and EBITDA will reach 1.8 million euros in the next year. Now I will hand over to Thomas for business development.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. So the second Thomas is speaking. Let's have a look what's happened in 2023 on the business development department or portfolio and business, and what's going on in our cooperation with stakeholders in the German health insurance system, like the sickness funds. Looking back to last year, to 23, we are happy to announce, and we already announced it last year, that we launched 4 new single pills, which led us to, in total, 14 single pills in our portfolio of the single pill combinations. You can see it on the slide. It was all done more or less in the second half of 23. So the last entries and launches happened, 2 out of them, in November 23. If you look to the current year 24 and also to the upcoming year 25, here is good news that our portfolio, as Bruno stated some minutes ago, the portfolio is still increasing. So by end of the year, we expecting 18 single pills, and that is a good news reflecting the tender risk Thomas Zimmermann was stating some seconds ago. Will 10 out of the 18 by end of the year will be without any competition in the German market. And so there is no risk for open houses or tenders like it is for other products in the past. We are expecting another 2 launches in the upcoming year 25. Then we will have in our portfolio 20 single pill combinations in Germany. And that is also good stuff if we compare that figure to our statements we did in May 21, so exactly 3, more or less exactly 3 years ago. We discussed and we stated that we would like to have 20 single pills at Apontis Pharma in the year by end of 26. So already more or less 1.5 years earlier, we will have, from our current plan, 20 single pills in Germany in our portfolio. We can see, as you are knowing us, the codings. And also here, I would like to express that last week, we launched the triple combination named Caramlo HCT here in Germany.
Which the CEO will swallow himself.
Good. And not as a test person, as a real patient, we have to state. If we go further, not only giving an outlook to the year 24, but also giving an outlook to the upcoming years, Bruno stated already that internationalization can happen in 27. Perhaps I'm a little bit optimistic, of course. 1 out of that single pill combinations could also be launched European-wide by the end of 26, but mainly, of course, it is 27. And that is explaining you which or how many of our single pill combinations are being located and launched in Germany or will be launched in Germany. The dark green is telling you that is without any competition in Germany, so no risk for tenders. The blue-colored ones, there is at least 1 other pharmaceutical company offering the same combination, but of course with an under a different trademark. And the The light green colored bar is telling you that is the number of single pills in that year, which can be launched in countries also outside of Germany within the European Union. And that is currently our portfolio containing then 28 single pill combinations. And looking to our financial situations also, we would like to invest more because candidates are identified internally for also developing those candidates for the years after 28, so 29 and following. That is reflecting the business development business at Apontis Pharma. And just to remain it, Bruno stated it all already, to refresh, we have still a cooperation with Novartis for the COPD product Luna, which will end currently by end of 24, so by end of that year. And there is still an ongoing cooperation with Purain, which will end due to the contract by end of this month, so by end of March. And that is contributing, of course, to our EBIT situation. We were paid by calls and for distribution in the Ulina case. And just to remain it also, we are still, of course, reflecting the market, looking, is there any possibility, is there any candidate which will be a perfect fit to our core business? And the core business is, of course, the single pill combination strategy and the single pill combination business. One word and one sentence, because some of you are always asking me and us, what's about your cooperation in the German healthcare system? We announced by end of last year cooperations with the Sickness Fund Barmer. So the biggest, there's always a battle with the Techniker Krankenkasse in Germany, who's the biggest in terms of insured patients and so on in terms of costs. So Barma is with 14% of the statutory health insurance system in Germany, a leading sickness funds. There is a contract for Ilterior and Los Amlo, and the GWQ, that is a holding of around 40 different smaller sickness funds, representing 11% of the statutory health insurance system, covered three single pill combinations, and one is interfacing with the Barmer. Good news, in February, so last month, there was a second wave of communication by letters to the main prescribers and the potential prescribers of ours, of those single pill combinations. They are sent out from the sickness funds. And you can be, I think, optimistic, and we are very optimistic, that we will also introduce within that year not only sending out letters from, cannot expect that the sickness funds being under contract will not only send out letters to the physicians, but also going into direct communication in perhaps phone calls, video conferences, and so on from the payer side directly to the physician side. And also that is, I think, I would like to give you updates during the year, what is exactly going on and which activities will take part. I think so, that is in a nutshell business development.
Exactly. Access. So if we sum all of this up, so 2023 was a clear signal, a very strong signal and a negative signal that gave a mandate to work on a turnaround rather than incremental improvements. We took on this task. We are looking forward towards a year of profitable growth with 40% growth rates for our single pill portfolio in the German market and with profitability, of course, in this business also in 2024. In addition, we drive all the strategic initiatives that will help us to fuel this growth in the future and upcoming years or in the near future. Depending on what it is. This is internationalization. This is ensuring that we can scale the model beyond the scope of what we have now. Corporations where we need to see the proof that big pharma companies will will accept our offer, will accept what we can offer. But we are working on this, and this probably requires an update later this year. And of course, the promise from the data, not from us, but from the data and the guidelines, that single pill combinations will become the standard of care in cardiovascular disease treatment. And this, of course, is something we also support from our side, from a, with a strategic initiative, but it's another additional source of growth for us. And with this, I think we can change towards the Q&A, and we are happy to take your questions.
I think so too. So thank you so much for your presentation. We will now move on with our Q&A session. So yeah, you can ask your questions in person via audio line. To do so, please click on the virtual raise your hand button. So, and if you've dialed in by phone, please use the key combination *9 followed by *6. And if you're not able to speak freely today, you can also place your questions in our chat box. And I guess we need to switch off your screen, Mr. Zimmermann. I can see myself double.
Oh, wow.
So don't worry. Maybe we can fix it shortly. So yeah, now it's better. Thank you so much. So sorry for the interruption. Let's move on with the questions from Christian Ehmann. So please go ahead and ask your questions.
Hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Very well.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So I would like to have one question in the beginning. So I was trying to get an understanding of the possibility regarding co-marketing upside for 2024. Maybe you can give us a little bit of color on the current state of discussions you have with the industry experts. This would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
So, as I outlined before, the most important part task to fulfill to ensure that we can enter negotiations was to convince big pharma partners that our model is a model that really yields benefits for them. I think I can state that convincing partners, we've been quite about the model, we've been quite successful. And as you know, breaching confidentiality is probably not part of good negotiation practices, but I think I can disclose that we are in negotiations with a major partner on future business here. But as I said, those negotiations are complex. Both sides have to ensure that that the deal holds its promises based on the different influence factors we can see in the market. But I think the team delivered on this task to ensure that big pharma partners are still actively interested in what we can offer. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your question. So now let's move on with the questions from Alexander. So please go ahead. You can unmute yourself now.
Yes, thank you for taking the question. Maybe just the first one, a clarification regarding the cost savings in Q1. Could you quantify or roughly give a sense how much of the cost savings were already possible in Q1? My understanding was that most of them, or the annualized cost savings, would be achieved and already in Q2.
So most of the savings will kick in from 1st of March, you know, because then most of the people affected by our restructuring program will go into garden leave in January, and in February, the people that are still on our payroll and not included in the accrual booked in 23, of course. What you already saw in Q4, that the number of people in our payroll went down gradually. This happened also in January and in February, but the full impact will be seen in the second quarter, but part of it is already felt in the first quarter.
Understood. And then regarding the single pills portfolio, I guess the first question is, you mentioned that you're going to be having 18 single pills, 10 out of those 18 pills will be without tender risk. So we have remaining eight. We know that Tonotec, Orambo, Atoramib have been already part of the tender. So we are left with five remaining ones. Could you maybe touch upon those where which single pills within those remaining ones that could potentially have a tender are sort of the most critical ones and are potentially at risk? Could provide any color.
Yeah, there's good news. So we didn't see any attempt for a tender announcement from the 95 different sickness funds so far. So we are knowing from the past that Caamlo and Atoramib and Tonotex, that are the three ones are touched. The potential candidates, because there is at least one competitor in the market. Just from my mind, it is Biamlo. There is one competitor, but we didn't see any try and any attempt for a tender in the last years, because it could happened also in the last years already for Biamlo. There is Tonotec HCT. Also, there's only one competitor. Also here is no tender attempt recognizable in the last years since launch. And then the remaining ones is Ramibizo, but here, and you are knowing it from the past, we did it with Tonotec and Atoramib. We launched in such cases directly the 90 packages, not to be substitutable in the pharmacies. That is belonging to Ramibizo, that is belonging to Rosacimib. And the fifth one, I will give you just the information in a few seconds. I have to think about it because
But if of course we look at it this way as well, in order to ensure, in order to understand what is the risk for our business in 2024, and that's why in our projection for 2024 and in our plans for 2024, we already discounted on some of the products based on the risk, on the risk that we will see tenders. So we have a mitigation plan for this, and each day without tender, of course, is a good day for the business. And but again, we are prepared, and we face those changes, and we have some strategies in place that Thomas just outlined that can help us to mitigate it. And the best mitigation for us is to grow the single pill portfolio beyond the tendered products, of course. And this is actually our focus as well in 2024.
And the missing fifth single pill combination is named Rosu-Amlo, because also there is one competitor offering such a combination in Germany.
Okay. Does this answer your question?
Yes, perfect. That answers the question. I have one follow-up. For the rest of the portfolio where you have for the pills that have no competition, what's the visibility that those products will not have any shortly? What kind of how much visibility you really have in the development, I guess, of competitors to be able to confidently say that they within the next 1 2 years there is no risk?
I think two answers from my side to that question. First is we have a, of course, great network and knowing all the partners and developers within Europe. And so we see what is going on. Are they developing also such a combination? That is network sourcing, of course, and information. And the second answer to your question, Alexander, is the topic. We have a registration database, of course, we are looking in and see is there any attempt, is there any try that such a combination is aiming for, or a pharmaceutical company is aiming for a registration of such a combination. And so naming those candidates, we didn't see any try, any attempt. And you have to know, and I think that is the most interesting part for the international. The European setting from 27 onwards. If you would like to develop such a new, complete new combination, it takes time. You are knowing from the past, from our information, It takes time between 3.5 and 5 years. And also here you see very easily and with a time in advance if some other company is trying to develop such a combination. And you have to know the data protection for 10 years is also one of the safety topics. No other company can refer to our data for bioequivalence, for drug-drug interaction, and so on.
And in addition, of course, we take this point as well very serious. And strategically, we develop and we have to develop our portfolio in a way that we have time to leverage the life cycle for our business, for our growth. And it's part of our planning to ensure that we are not falling short based on entries of competitors, but it's part of our projection, of
And
course.
that is also very new. I can also state that we decided not to invest into a combination during the last weeks and the last months because we are knowing there is also a second and third partner developing such a combination and would like to launch such a combination in 25 or 26. And so we resisted and told the partner, no, we have no interest to step in. So we would like only to invest in the exclusive combinations we see currently from the database and from our knowledge and from our offers we get from the network.
Thank
Does
you.
it answer,
Yes,
Alexander?
it does.
Okay.
I'll go back to the queue.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your questions, Alexander. So we will now move on with the questions from a person who has dialed in by phone ending 9694. So please unmute yourself by pressing star key six and introduce yourself to us. We can
Hello,
hear.
yes, this is Simon Scholes.
Hi, Simon.
Hi. Well, thanks for the
Simon.
very informative presentation. I have a question on how you see sales developing in 25. So in 25, you're going to be going from 18 single pills to 20 single pills. And of course, you've got a very impressive sales growth for this year in the single pill business, 40%. I was just wondering what you think sales growth might be in 25.
So for sure, we will continue a double-digit growth also in 25. I'm a bit hesitant to name a specific percentage rate here, but we have enough potential to grow substantially also in 2025. And Thomas, maybe
Yes.
you can go into more details on this one, yeah?
Yes, you have seen, I guess, also the modeling of Montega regarding 25 and Taug. So I guess that Taug and Montega are close to a possible scenario. But of course, first we have to deliver 24 and then we work on 25.
Okay, and just one follow-up. So I think overall, your gross margin for 23 was something like 63%. I mean, how should we model the gross margin going forward?
It just depends on the product mix. Yes. On the
Yeah.
one hand, there's a better supply of Atoromib, which has a high gross margin. This is a factor which improves our gross margin. On the other hand, we lost Trixeo, which has a 100% gross margin. So in total, with our increase in single pills, there should be an improvement in our gross margin in 24 compared to the last year.
Okay. Oh, and just one more question. On Atoromib, I mean, there was a tender issue on Atoromib in 23. Can you tell us how much that contributed to the decline in sales?
Yeah, the total loss was 9.2 million euros compared to
Yeah.
22. Yes. And what we saw since yeah, beginning of November and December, yeah, how good a response is in the market if we can really supply the market, yes. So that we can tell that the majority of this loss, yeah, is attributable to the supply situation. So I guess 2/3 of it is supply and 1/3 is tender. Yeah. And in addition, we also see a market growth. Atromip is a combination of two active ingredients with a high growth in the market. And this helps us as a, so this is what we are currently feeling in the market day by day by ordering of our customers.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very helpful.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you so much, Simon. So let's move on with the questions from Olu. So please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking questions. To start with, thanks a lot, as Simon put it. I'm pretty excited. I think the depth and level of information is much better than the past. I'm really happy about that. Thanks for the talk. My first question was just asked by Simon about if that 40% growth is going to scale down in the future. I've understood that. Thanks, though. My second question would be that in the guidance for 2024, I understood now it's 4.1 million in co-marketing revenue instead of like 17-ish in the normal past years that included Yalra, Icandra, which were supposed to end anyway. But does that mean that in the guidance as it is now, there is no revenue figured in for a replacement of the Astra contract as of now?
You are right. You are right. You are right in thinking so. As presented before, we strongly focus on our single pill portfolio. Any potential cooperations would be an add-on to the current projection we have and we shared. And this is, I think, an important principle to understand for Apontis 3.0. So the kind of company we are from this year onwards. We will always not only try to ensure, but ensure that we can grow and profitably grow with our core business, which is single pill. Yeah. Single pill
Great,
combination.
great to hear, Bruno. It was just kind of to clarify that
And
in that
everything on
sense, it
top,
is really a low
exactly.
case. That's good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The second question as a follow-up would be regarding the single pills. You pointed out during the last call in February that it's a bit more complicated than I thought, but in the end, it's still true that your Iltria and Tonotec single pills that combine three substances and address two conditions instead of one are basically much more attractive. And in the past, Atorimip has been by far the biggest contributor, as I understand. So is it now Iltria with that cooperation or contract with Barmer and Tonotec Lipid with GWQ Plus that are kind of the heavy hitters of the future? Or are you not sure about that yet? Kind of which are the heavy hitters that you are focusing on now?
Iltria will play an important role as it's also a spearhead with regard to the data quality that lays behind. And with a fully published phase three trial in the New England Journal of Medicine demonstrating a 31% reduction in death due to heart infarction. This is a single pill combination that for sure plays a key role in our portfolio. Is it a single pill that in the future will yield the biggest sales? We don't know yet. But for sure we have a focus on this one in our go-to-market model. Salesforce is sharing it extensively with our customers. So we have strong growth expectations for Iltria. And of course, you mentioned it already, there is a good prospect also for those combinations that are triple combinations stemming from well-known combinations like Tonotec. So like, for example, Tonotec HCT or Tonotec Lipid. So yes, we will grow specific single pills the more the best we can in order to ensure that we have followers for Atorimib and Tonotec as it was in the past. Yeah. The overall amount of sales at this point, maybe it's too early to state, but we have good expectations in those assets. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Bruno. So I would jump back into the queue then.
Thank you, Olaf.
Thank you so much for your question. So let's move on with the questions from Christian. So you can unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. You can hear me, guys?
Very well.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, thanks. So I have a follow-up question regarding corporations. I would like to understand how much capacity from your sales force, which are now 65 people, would you be willing or would you be planning to give towards corporations? Because if that will mean that you will take some of the capacity from your own single pill. And I think, for example, 2024, you will be quite busy with four launches, focusing on some of the new with your new strategy on high prescribing products. So how would you deal with this cooperation and what is
Excellent question, Christian. I would, well, we have to ask ourselves the same question, but we have an answer to this, yeah. First of all, we have a different model than the one that you know from the past. So just the sales force, nothing else. Yeah. Now we have a sales force, we have additional measures that we can use to boost our portfolio. Yeah. So we have a, let's say, healthy mix of different channels. Then the second big change that we made is that we carved out explicitly a team that can visit or that will visit cardiologists, which are super important for us. But they also have enough capacity to contact other specialists in the market that can be an attractive target for potential partners. In addition, our big sales force, so the 50, and you can see it even on the map behind the wall there, they are able to focus on our portfolio, and we have a specific plan for this, but they will also have positions for attractive partnerships if we come to an agreement. Yeah. So I think this is well thought through from our side, and from the first reactions we could see, probably also an attractive proposition for potential partners in this area.
Okay,
Christian?
thank you.
Okay, good.
Yes, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for this question, Christian. So just a quick reminder at that point, if you still have any questions, just let us know by raising up your virtual hand or by placing your question in our chat box. So let's come back to Alexander. So it seems like he has a follow-up question.
Yes, thank you. I was just wondering on the Tonotec, if you could provide more transparency. It seems to be turning into a drag on single pill sales in 2024 with the expected 4 million loss. Could you just give more color? What's the situation there and how much revenue did Tonotec contribute in 2023?
Okay, so Thomas, you have the
Yes.
Yeah.
So Tonotec, there's a new tender or several tenders in place, and some will come this year. We are not going to take part, and therefore we are expecting a decline in the Tonotec sales. And as I mentioned, the share of products which are in the current tender will decrease as the other products will grow. So Tonotec will decrease this year due to the tender situation. It will not vanish, it will decrease, and then the share of the sales which is at risk with tendering is going down. Yeah, with Carbaglu, for example, we are now at the bottom line, no further risk of going down, and this will happen now gradually to Tonotec too.
And the revenue from Tonotec, would you be able comfortable to share?
It will be around 2.5 million euros in this year.
And that's factored in our projection and plan for 2024. So 40% growth. The loss with Tornotek is factored in.
Yeah. And only if really the tendering goes so that the tender winners are able to ship also the demand into the market.
And maybe a detail on this one. We have, let's say, something like that we call a Tornotek family. Meanwhile, we have Tornotek, we have Tornotek HCT, and we have Tornotek Lipid. The latter two are triple combinations, and of course, there is a natural tendency if you, as a prescriber, you are happy with Tornotek, and you now realize that there is a triple combination that includes Tornotek plus another compound that you regularly prescribe to your patients. There is a natural tendency to also adapt this treatment. The good thing for patients is they have to take only one pill instead of two. And the advantage for us is that those triple combinations have quite a good price, so that we can potentially shift also some patients that might be lost due to tenders to a triple combination that benefits patients more and benefits us more in terms of revenues. And this is probably one of the strategies that we will follow in these families of brands.
Thank you. And then two more follow-ups, if I may, regarding.
Ah, this is an extra cost then. Yeah, you have to discuss with Montega, Alexander.
Will do. Pouring contribution, is this around about 1 million gross profit?
I didn't understand the
beginning. It was in the last 12 months, 1 million. So, of course, reflecting it's only 3 months in that year, that is a part of the 1 million story.
Yeah. And exactly. So it's not a major deal for us, but it was a very successful one for Purén and also for us, of course. It gets some good revenues, and there is a constant interest from Purén side to continue on this one. I can understand why. And of course, it's another option we have. But as I think you asked in your last question, we also have to be mindful about our resources. And of course, we will put our eggs, it's Easter time, where we get the biggest revenues for Apontis.
Just to clarify on that one, so Purén is no longer. So last year, 12 months, it was 1 million, and this so last year was 1
Yeah.
million. This year is not priced into the guidance beyond the 3 months contribution.
Yes, only Q1.
Q1.
Q1 is factored in, and this is kind of a done deal because Q1 is almost done. Nothing else, but of course there is a continued interest. But as said before, we are very mindful with our resources. I think the question was excellent, because we have to ensure that we are able to maximize the growth with our single pill portfolio, and in addition, go for those opportunities on top which yield the best outcome for Apontis and the potential partner, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, just if I have to understand this, you are basically now walking away from Purén because the contract ran out, and potentially based on your further assessments, you would be thinking to coming back to it. So,
Well, we will always try to maximize our additional revenues if it fits our strategy and it doesn't eat up the resources we need for better growth with our own business. Yeah. So that's why it's always a trade-off situation. There is continued interest from Purén, but as said, it wasn't a major deal for us. But if it's synergistic, why not? Yeah.
Understood. And the very last one, regarding Iltria, you said that it's one of the more important products for the future, potentially, thanks to the scientific evidence. In 2023, though, the growth was rather sluggish. I'm wondering whether you have already seen first indication of the dynamics are turning around within this product, or do you still need some more time to this to play out?
I think it's too early to answer this question because, and that's an important message also for the 2024 outcome. Yeah, we will see some good developments for sure. We started already. I mentioned before with Atorimib refueling the market, with cost savings on our side, and with a new model kicking in. But the effects in terms of market share growth that goes beyond the current trajectory we have with Iltria, which is growing, yeah, will only be seen in the second half of this year because it takes some time to move this forward. And this is, I think I saw this paradoxon in several situations in my previous life, where the moment we take a strategic decision and, you know, the first, I don't know, sales rep goes out to make a call, we are very... We can't wait to see results, but we probably have to wait 6 to 9 months to see market shares continuously growing beyond the trajectory we had before. Whenever we have an indication which we think is stable enough to share it as a clear sign of turnaround with regard to growth, we will share it. Yeah?
Perfect. That's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And just to clarify, as we are just absolutely in time, I really appreciate all your questions. And I do not want to leave any one of you going with question marks in your eyes into the Easter days. So this is why we just come back to Arlo. He can unmute yourself again.
Thanks a lot. I'm trying to be brief, not to have to pay the Hauk bill. First follow-up would be a confirmation question, just like the guidance before, so it's completely clear and transparent. The 6 million financing is not new debt at all, but only a kind of balance sheet reorganization on the short term to keep an existing deposit and use that existing deposit to pay back that financing cash flow. So it should be made clear that it's not new debt coming into the company now. And as I understood, there is no further debt nor equity needed for the plans as they are now. Is that correct, Bruno?
It's absolutely correct. I couldn't have explained it any better, Olof. And I think Thomas nods as well.
Yes, Olof, yes, that's absolutely right. So beginning of 23, due to a high cash and liquidity we had, we of course used it for getting interest, and then we decided and with our bank to use this money, and part of it was in a fixed deposit until May, yeah, on AG level. But of course we needed it to have money on the lower level company to finance the restructuring, and therefore we just could not get it back. We had to take a loan, and this is financed and secured by the time deposit. And in May, both will vanish. So therefore, the net liquidity, 20.8 million, is and, after excluding
and
the
in,
debt.
And in finance lay terms, no new debts, left pocket, right pocket.
Thanks a lot. The second question is slightly more complicated. As you pointed out, internationalization would be with only a few pills where you have European intellectual property going forward from late 26 or rather 27-ish. Question is, I still understand that correctly, that it's a relative mode. So it's not like a patent on a new drug, but Warenzeichenschutz or something like that. Or so a relative mode, not an absolute mode, but still enough to use it for internationalization. Is that
absolutely
right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. As we did it already with the partners in the last years, that's the same. So the 10 years is the data protection, in German language, Unterlagenschutz. So you are safe using all the data for registration. This data is belonging to you, or if it is it a license, of course, belonging to the partner handing out the license to us. And in that case, regarding the European-wide possibilities from mainly 2027 onwards, that is all belonging to us.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a great point and quite a difference. So it's a relative mode for 10 years, not only the 3 or 5 that it would take a competitor to get the regulatory stuff done to have
yeah,
a
but
project
of course,
on their own. I mean, 10 years or much is like three
no,
times
yeah, but,
the time.
Yeah, just to be clear, of course, any competitor can also start a development of the same combination, but without using our data.
Okay.
They can do it by them own.
But it will take 3.5 to 5 years for
them. It will take time.
Okay.
So, and Olaf, I think that's an important comment because our task as well as a management team here is to ensure that we have a constant flow of potential growth drivers, knowing that there's always a risk that you might lose exclusivity at one point in time. And this is part of our exercise that we continuously drive the portfolio towards growth drivers that bring us the growth we need, but also the sales on the long term, of course. But we have to stay agile and flexible in this, yeah.
Great. That's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Olaf, for the question.
Thank you so much. So now let's move on with the questions from Raymond. So you can unmute yourself now.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. If you could say some things to the Zulassungsbehörde, how is the situation there? Is it becoming still better or you still think it's difficult? Or is that the reason why you're not able to launch more single pills? How does it look like?
You are an insider, Raymond, or Ramon. The topic is, as you know, we had a visit by end of last year to bring that situation to a better situation. You are knowing that, and sometimes we have waiting for months, up to a year, to get a national registration within the European Union decentralized procedure. And that is the first hint since November last year. We can now measure it in two different single pill combinations, waiting or getting, for example, the Carmelo HCT registration within 4 months from the German authority. That is a very, very good success. And so the first, interpretation from our side is, I think that conversation with the German authority helped a lot. And we measured it with the 4 months. And also in an upcoming setting, also we see that the reactions at the German authority are much faster than it was in the last years.
And just to put this into perspective, of course, based on the size we have and the company we are, we cannot come with a hammer and put pressure on authorities. But I think what Thomas and his team did in an excellent way, and the
Susanne Endres is in
from regulatory. I think she was a key part of this team. They might not come with a hammer, but they can put needles at the right place, and I think they did an excellent job in finding the right person to talk to and ensuring that they understand the pain points on our side, and they really, really came back to us saying, okay, we will try our very best to ensure that those national registrations are faster. So is this a guarantee it will happen? Maybe not, but we have a first indication with Caramlo HCT.
Two first signs. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it answering, Ramon?
Your question? Definitely, yes. So I think it's very good news then. Thank you.
Other than
much.
That, you can tell us your experience with German administration. Is there a tendency to the better? I don't know. But we try our very best.
He's knowing more the Swiss situation, I think.
Yeah, so German is difficult anyway.
Thanks for that comment.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, and now we will come back again to Christian. So please ask your questions.
Thank you very much. It's a follow-up question regarding your own IP projects question that was asked before by Orlo. Could you give us an idea? These projects, these are 6 projects, are already in development, right? So could you give us an idea until the end of 23, how much of roughly of the budget of the development expenses, probably as a percentage of the total budget, have already been expensed in your P&L, and what percentage will be then remaining to be expensed until 26, 27, when the launch takes place? Thank you.
Yeah, we have not in the P&L. No, it's in the balance sheet. Yeah, because it's a development, and then we capitalize the amount. So you will not see it in the P&L. Just after going live, you have it in the amortization and depreciation.
And just an additional information, Christian, is we are splitting each of the six developments into so-called milestones. So at first, you have to pay from the total sum, and I made that announcement already 3 years ago during the IPO, or the pre-IPO phase. Such a development is costing you up to 4 million euros. If there is no clinical phase study necessary, that was my comment, and this is still true. And then if you split the 4 million for such a development, also some of the developments cost a little bit less, so towards 3 million. If you split it into six different milestones, these milestones have to be paid from our side during the 4 or 5 years development. And so it is all, I think, splitted into the 4 or 5 years until the launch date. And starting is always with around 10 to 20% at the beginning of such a development, coming to an end in 28, 27, or by end of 26, as I mentioned. Is it helpful?
Okay. Yes, that means that we have already seen this going through your CAPEX cash flow statement, right? So,
to the extent the milestones were reached already.
Exactly. So a portion of it has already been going, and it will be split over the next 3-4 years.
No traumatic end payment or so.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Understand. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. So in view of the time, we will have Alexander again as our last speaker. So you can go ahead.
It's just a short housekeeping question regarding D&A for next year. This year, you ended up with 1.9 million. Do you expect a significant step up in 2024?
Well, if we are not able to increase our EBIT, our absolute EBIT in 25, with further growth, beyond what we see this year, I think we would do a lousy job.
But on the DNA, the absolute DNA?
Thomas?
It will stay more or less constant compared to 23.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you so much. So with this, your questions, Alexander, we will come to the end of today's earnings call. So thank you everyone for joining and your shown interest in the Apontis Pharma, and also for this lively conversations. So should further questions arise at a later time, please feel free to contact Investor Relations or us. And a big thank you also to you, to the gentlemen, to you, Mr. Wurschlegel, and Mr. Zimmermann and Mr. Mills, for the presentation and the time you took. So from my side, I wish you all the best for 2024 and have some relaxing Easter days to all of you. And I hand over again to Mr. Wurschlegel for some final remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much. And final remarks for Easter time. I think you, the investors that that keep investing and believing in Apontis, you are the ones that drive us from this end. And on our side, I think you can see with a 40% growth of our single pill business in 2024, with the return to profitability, and with a model that allows us to grow beyond this projection with regard to internationalization, any other opportunity, be it corporation business, or leveraging products that might grow faster than we think with a scalable model. I think we try our best to justify your trust and to ensure that it's not only that, let's say, the belief that drives the success, but also the tangible figures at the end of the year. And we and the whole organization, we are geared up to ensure that we can deliver. So thank you very much. And I'm very much looking forward to talking to you next time at our next call is quarter one, I would say. Huh?
Quarter one.
Okay. Thanks very much. Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
Easter.
Bye.
See you.